feet across her makeshift tent. Minor party functionaries from Taiyuan, city of the endless steel mills. Or maybe even one step up, pompous municipality magistrates from Jinan. Mei didn't care. No matter who they were or where they came from, she hated them with her entire being, mind, heart, soul. Humei sat on her knees and folded her blanket neatly. She prided herself on her attention to detail, her unhurried tranquility in the face of impending chaos, then stowed it in her backpack. She closed her brown, 32-year-old eyes and took a moment to contemplate the memory of her husband, Yi, the creases of his lopsided smile, gentle lips, the funny flop of black hair that he used to brush across his forehead. Just the briefest thought of him, dead now 6 months, brought her comfort. The day would be troubled, she knew this, and that was exactly why she started it with a meditation on Yi's face. He was, after all, why she was here in the first place. The grind and groan of a bus engine brought her back to the present. They were close now, out of the ravine probably, passing the marshy ponds on the edge of town. She crawled from her jury-rigged tent, a bolt of blue plastic stretched between bent sticks, and was hit with the first cold blast of a November dawn. The cold didn't bother her. She had grown up on a farm, had risen before sunrise practically every morning of her entire childhood to feed pigs and chickens and goats. She was a peasant, and she knew it, and like the cold, that didn't bother her either. On the contrary, she was proud of it. Humei cupped her hands to her mouth and bellowed as loudly as she could,
"Kilai, kilai, jinshikalaili! Get up, the police are coming!"
In the darkness, Mei could see the other men and women climbing out of the tents that made up their protest city on the trampled barley field, at the edge of the fence that ringed the pesticide factory. Of course, no barley actually grew in the field. It was as dead as her husband, poisoned and worthless. Everything in Huaxi was poisoned and worthless, everything except the money that came out of the factory.
"Kuai, kuai,"
she said, clapping her hands. "Quick, quick!" Most of the protesters, there were 87 in all, were already on their feet, sticks and banners at the ready. Mei knew that none of them had eaten yet, or had tea, and that all of them were cold. She also knew each was ready to lay down his life for the cause. Each had had his land rights taken, forcibly, secretly and without warning by the party, which had transferred those rights to the factory owners, a consortium of investors from Shanghai, who had then built this monstrosity. And they had all suffered for it. Their fields had shriveled, their pigs had died, and now, worst of all, they and their loved ones were getting sick, breathing sickness, stomach sickness, skin sickness. Mei didn't know the names of the diseases, but she knew those diseases were killing them. The factory was going to kill them all, and no one was going to help them. Not the village party leader. He was fully Fubai, corrupt. Not the township leader, the provincial magistrate, not even the leader of all of China's Communist Party, Xi Jinping himself. They all suffered from Dao de Dunluo, moral decadence. They were all deaf to the villagers' pleas. But not for much longer, not if Humei could help it. The bus's headlights swept across the ragged protest tents. The air brakes hissed as the buses stopped and their doors folded open. Black-uniformed riot police trundled off the buses and into the field, quickly forming two straight lines, one behind the other. Mei guessed there were about 200 of them. She could see their batons and shields flashing in the pink of the dawn, but their faces were covered by black neck scarves. Even from across the field, Mei could sense the policeman's confidence. They would sweep across the protest village, smash the tents, batter any villagers who got in their way, then arrest the remainder and haul them off to the provincial jail in Taiyuan. A routine maneuver, the protesters were nothing but peasants. They used firecrackers as warning signals. Firecrackers. That's how backward they were. Humei suppressed a smile. If the police and the party thought they were simpletons, then so much the better. Mei slipped a cell phone from her pocket. It was shiny and new, unused, not her old phone. The one the police were tracking and blocking. This one was a gift from a cousin who worked in Chengdu. He was a quality assurance manager in a cell phone factory. He had stolen two crates of them along with SIM cards and a